Once again, it's not, I don't have anxiety. I'm fine, okay? I'm fine, but it's just, my heart is heavy, you know? And it can be a good thing. But in the past 3 months, I have learned how to cast all my care on Jesus. You remember 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, I went to the doctor and she said I need to chill because my anxiety level was too high with everything else that's going around the world, my responsibilities in Haiti. Last week again, two of our pastors had to leave their house, leave their church. I mean, one of our churches, everyone is scattered, you know. I mean, I don't have enough money to send to Haiti to feed people. I could send $1,000 a day. I still couldn't reach out to people. I mean, I find myself in a position where literally when my phone ring and it's somebody, it's a number from Haiti, I'm like, I always answer. But now it's like, it's always a bad news. It's always somebody haven't ate for 3 days, you know. And this is, I count it a privilege to be able to, for people to check on me like that and be like, you know what, I haven't ate for 3 days. One lady, I don't know her. She contacted me on Messenger. She said, Pastor, you don't know me, but I know you. I'm starving. I know it's real. So last night, and I'm sure all of us, we saw what happened yesterday, that one former president was shot at. And I believe that was a horrifying day for our country. I'm glad that I can say our country because I wasn't born an American, but, you know, it's like you become an American through paperwork, whatever. So thank God for due citizenship. But you know what? It's good. This is not just a country that I live in to suck it. I want to see the well-being of the country. Now, what I'm going to say here, I believe this pulpit is holy and sacred. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a independent. I love my country. I would say the same thing if any other president, anybody would be attacked like that. I believe, especially growing up from a culture where freedom of speech, did you know, when I was growing up, there was some people on my neighborhood, they couldn't speak their political view because somebody would kill them. And as a matter of fact, I know people who disappeared because they didn't lie. They did not see eye to eye with so-and-so that was going for government. I believe us as citizens of heaven, we need to make a stand. But that stand, we're not fighting against people. We need to make a stand against the principality that is out there willing to destroy our country. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:7, it says we must pray for the land. But at the same time, I believe that believers, sometimes we get so emotionally into the stuff and we allow other voices to plant seeds of hatred. Now, a healthy mindset person would agree to disagree. But because I disagree with you, you shouldn't be my enemy. You know, I've heard it. Some people say if you're a true follower of Jesus, you can't be a friend with a cheater. But they don't say that. They label, you know, like homosexuality. Or if you're a true believer, you can't be friend to random. They choose a category. But what about a cheater? What about a junkhead? What about someone who disrespects authority? Because I know there are some believers, they call themselves followers of Jesus, but their best friend is someone who blasphemed the name of God. Oh no, this person, because they're not categorized in whatever group. Oh Lord, help me out. I did put some of my thoughts together on notes so I don't scatterbrain. I'm speaking from my heart. I believe the real attack to democracy in our country, it starts when people can be like, well, if you not agree with me, I'm gonna kill you. Guys, I've seen it happen. It's not good for a country. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, every house divided will not stand. Thank you for that amen. So we must come against the spirit of division. Joe Biden is our president. He's my president. He's the president for the country. So I pray for Joe Biden. Okay? So I can't hate Joe Biden. If I harbor hate in my heart for anybody in politics right now, if I harbor hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, what am I doing worshiping Jesus? I believe that's one thing we miss in the church. Because everybody gets so emotionally connected. And then we sit in front of our TVs, online, YouTube, whatever, wherever you collect your news. And then whoever is planting the seed of, remember, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So therefore, if I wanna come to you here and start talking political about someone who I hate, it's gonna filter. You're gonna hear it, and especially if you, all of you here, are open to receive that. Oh, I can shape your mind. I hope that all of you are strong-minded enough to sift everything you hear from a kingdom perspective. From a kingdom perspective. Even when you vote, God will hold you responsible for that vote. Don't vote with your emotion. I believe that was, and I think that's the case for all of you. Peaceful is the right way to settle our differences in America. We don't want America to become like other countries. So we pray and we do our part. You know, I think we all should, our hearts should go out to family members that lost their loved one into that event yesterday. You know, we've become so divided in our mindset, Republican, Democrat, you know, and then we, the enemy is sitting there like, yeah, I got him. House divided, won't stand. Yeah, I'm Democrat, you Republican, we can't see eye to eye. You know, family members can't see eye to eye. They can't go on a family retreat together because they want to devour each other. Good friends can't accept each other. I want to take this time to pray. I think the fight we are in, it's much bigger than politics. Let me tell you this again. I grew up in a country where they go after the opposite side who doesn't see eye to eye. They kill them. 3 years ago, they went in the president's house, shot him 17 times. Not even a dog died. My fellow countrymen are suffering. Haiti's called the pearl of the island. I never dreamed about living Haiti. I got my dream house 6 years ago. up in the mountains, southeast of Haiti, with the Caribbean Sea, looking down the Caribbean Sea, mountains surrounding me. I'm like, everything's good, man. This is a good life. I love my life. I never wanted to come to America because I love the island. But corruption, dog-eat-dog mindset. Everybody wants to kill each other, destroy a beautiful pearl. I don't want that for America. I believe people who grew up here, sometimes they take for granted what they have. Oh, believe me, I grew up, I am 47 years, I haven't seen anything that approved in Haiti since I was born. Everything that was good has become bad, badder, 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 and worse. Nothing was made better. Why? Because we live in a mindset, this party against this party, and then a group of people rise up against this other group of people, and then they're killing each other. Still pearl of the island, but people can't live there. We don't want that for our beloved America. Listen, your political view at the end of the day won't matter. God will hold you and I responsible for our action. We cannot give into the spirit of hatred and division. Ask Haitians about that. I believe as citizens of heaven, the Lord is calling us to stop the hate brigade in your heart. Now you might prefer a candidate over another candidate, but nobody should hate anyone over anyone. As a matter of fact, the word of the Lord says to pray. Pray for your whoever, enemy. Administration comes, administration goes. I pray this morning that I was able to share my heart and you could hear my heart. I'm not talking from party standpoint. Please. I know I've heard it. I've heard preacher use their pulpit to do whatever. This is my conviction. I preach the word here. I preach the word of the Lord, my personal conviction. If you want to hear my personal conviction, let's talk about it in my office. You know, go out, we'll talk about it. I hear yours, you hear mine, we'll share. But my personal conviction is I preach the word of the Lord here. But at the same time, when I woke up this morning, I was in prayer, I felt like I needed to tell you this. Be aware. Keep your guard on. Father God, I come to you. We come to you this morning for our country, America, Lord. You're the God of restoration. You're the God of healing. You're the God of peace. And we speak peace into that raging storm that's going out there. We speak peace over this country, Father. Lord, we ask that you would turn hearts back to you, the hearts of Americans. Lord, we ask that you'd start in the homes, in the families, Lord. You'd bring people's heart back to you. Lord, I pray for an increase of the fear of the Lord. You start in the homes. And then, of course, God, you start in the church. Lord, we pray for people in authority. We ask that your favor and your grace would guide them. Lord, we pray for the families that were affected by death in this event that happened in Pennsylvania yesterday. We ask that you give them grace and mercy. Father, I pray that you would allow us to guard our hearts against the spirit of hatred, the spirit of bitterness, But Lord, we would in every situation take our requests or our burdens to you in prayer. Because sometimes even us venting or talking doesn't change anything, God. But we come to you, Father, we say, please, have mercy. Have mercy on us. We ask that you would bless this country and you sent revival. In Jesus' name I pray. And God's people said, amen. Living a life of worship. Last week I was talking to you about how to live a living a life of worship. How does one get out of spiritual stagnation? And one of the things I talked about, I said, for anybody to get out of stagnation, you must be hungry. You know, and for you to be hungry, I mean, you know, it's like if you're full right now, physically, if you're full, one thing you must do to experience hunger is to go without eating for a little bit, right? Because the more you go without eating, the more you understand the value of food. Yeah, you know, I think it's very healthy physically also to fast. You know, it's not good for us. It's not good for our intestine to be eating all the time. No. It's not good. It's really not good. You know? So therefore, not only get hungry, you must also live in holiness. I didn't have time to touch that. But for you to get out of stagnation, you must live in holiness. You cannot get into God's presence without holiness. God is a holy God. So therefore, you must live a holy life. It's not impossible. It's not difficult either. For us to experience holiness, we must submit. That's another thing. To get out of stagnation, you must submit. Did you know one of the physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is joy? Not necessarily speaking Rabba Sabta Karabai. It's not just speaking in tongues. Let me tell you this. One of the physical evidence in the life of a believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit, it's joy. Joy. So if you're not experiencing joy, go to the source. Get filled. Surround yourself with like-minded people. So I talked about those things. So I pray today that you would be able to remember. Go back online and listen to those things. For those of you who miss, get in the Word. Get in the Bible. Read your Bible. I'll tell you that every Sunday, every time we come together. In John chapter 19... verse 28, if you go to, if you have your Bibles, you can go there, but I'm going to read for you from the NLT. It says, John 19, verse 28, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, I am thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. Verse 30. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it's finished. Then he bowed his head and released his spirit. Something for us to understand here. Until this time when Jesus said, it is finished, there was a complicated system before that time. That complicated system had ritual. We're talking about living a life of worship. I believe for us in the new under the new covenant, for us to understand what it means to live a life of worship, we should get a glimpse of what it looked like in the old covenant to worship God. In the Old Testament, in the old covenant, not everybody had access to God. From the 12 tribes of Israel, God chose one tribe, the Levites. And he gave them regulations for them to choose different priests, a high priest, ways to get into his presence. And then Jesus came as the ultimate lamb, died on the cross. On the cross, he said, "It is." Oh, I'm thirsty. "But it is finished." Jesus knew what he was talking about. And I want to show you what he was talking about here. Put that next slide up the screen for me. Listen to this. Sin separates people from God. And only through sacrifice and shed of blood of animal, a substitute, could people be forgiven and become clean before God. So anybody, before they get to God, they had to pay a price. I'm glad. I researched the Bible. There is no place in the Bible it says you had to kill a dog or a cat. You dog lovers would have a fit. But goats, as a matter of fact, I see people have little goats, cute little goats. An unblemished goat. An unblemished lamb. Perfect. Wow. But people sin continually, just like you and I. But the thing is, the closer we get to Jesus, sin becomes more like an accident. You can't slap somebody by accident. Oh yeah, let me tell you this. Because let's say you get into an argument, they insult you, and you get offended. Right there, you feel your blood boiling. You feel all the hair on your hair standing up. And you know you're really mad right now. And you know, of course you talk back, and then they're talking back. And you know you're going to jump on them. You're not possessed. Sometimes we wish like, "I didn't know when I slapped him." Believe me, you knew. It was a choice. Just like we had the choice to just walk away. We do have a choice to get in the fight. Just like I have a choice to talk back. Just like I have a choice to submit. And we were talking about one of the way to get out of stagnation or burned out is to submit. So if I tell you, one of the things I thank God for, I understand authority. Maybe a couple years after I give my life to the Lord, I understand authority. I submit. Submit. Do you know the best way to find your vision is to learn to walk in someone else's vision? Mission. One of the best way to get into your mission is to learn to walk in someone else's mission. Sub. You hear the word? Submission. Submission. Sub. Under mission. So when you submit, you learn to go under mission. But our prideful self, our stubbornness, always prevent us from what? Submission. And we're like, "Well, how come God's not blessing me? How come I don't feel God near?" Let me tell you guys, God can be so near. He can talk. He talks to me all the time. I hear God's voice all the time. I hear his voice even in the funniest little things. I know his voice. And you can know his voice as well. I want you to look at this. Now, through the blood of Jesus, and I want you to remember this in John, Jesus said, "It is finished." So him saying "it is finished" really got rid of all this. John chapter 4, verse 23. You can just leave this on the screen. You don't have to go find that verse. But for those of you taking notes, you can write that down. You know this verse already. It says, "But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." In spirit and in truth. And I tell people, please, I'm never embarrassed to dance for Jesus or to sing for Jesus. Hallelujah!
Oh, Jesus, yes. You don't know where he came from. You don't know where I come from. You don't know. You don't know how Jesus has delivered me. So I'm not shy. I mean, that's your problem. Oh, okay, you want to be pretty, you know, no clapping, you know, this little light of mine. I'm going to be like this little light of mine, this big light. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to go crazy for Jesus because I know what he's done in my life. So I really don't care what people think about me when it comes to worship Jesus. And we've got a great example in the Bible. David, his wife, his people looked down on him. But David got it. David understood. Man, look what the Lord has done. And seriously, guys, that's the freedom I want all of us to get to. I want all of you to get to the level of freedom where when we come here, it's dynamite. You know, when I say dynamite, your passion for Jesus is real. You don't care about what people are thinking about you because nobody can save you. Jesus is only Savior. Jesus is our hero here. So I raise my hand. I shout his praise. Time is coming when people, true worshipers, meaning they are false worshipers. Oh. If Jesus said, time is coming, true worshipers will worship, meaning there are also some false worshipers, people who are just lip singing. As a matter of fact, he said it in the word. He said, come on, you guys, you're just worshiping me with your lips, your heart, because he doesn't dwell in here anymore. Living a life of worship is holding God at the most reverent place. That's why when I come to church, I put my phone to do not disturb. That's why when I'm listening to the word of the Lord, I give it my full attention. That's why coming to church, our community, we say service starts at 10 o'clock. I come on time because I'm not doing it for the pastor. Oh, I have this rendezvous with Jesus and the body of Christ. Remember, worshiping God is also serving God. That's why when I serve, when I get plugged into a church, I look, okay, where can I serve? Where can I serve? I remember back in 2004, we moved to Florida and I was a worship leader there. I was a worship leader and a cell leader before I was called to full-time ministry. So I got there, John Byler invited me to Restoration Church. First week, because John Byler was our contact in Sarasota. He's like, where are you going to church? I said, I just arrived. He's like, well, you come with me. I said, okay. I walk in the church. The Lord's like, there it is. I was like, good. I don't have to search for a church. I found it. Guys, I go to Sarasota Church for 2 years. Nobody knew what I could do. When I got there, I needed that time to sit down because I came from doing ministry. I came from being a leader to a new place. And the Lord, when I walked in there, I saw, I mean, music was amazing. I love music. I'm like, man, I'm going to play. The Lord's like, no, you're not. You're going to sit. I sat down for 2 years. 2 years later, I heard Dwayne, the worship leader, there. He's like, you know, if any of you guys play instruments, sing, we want to give the opportunity for you to serve. We want to meet you. The Lord says, this is it. But the moment I step in the church, you know my mindset? Where can I serve? Born leader or influencers. Where can I influence? Okay, I know Jesus has deposited something in me, a talent. And when he comes, I want him to find me faithful. You know how many times I led worship, nobody cared asking me, oh, say good job? I've learned those things because it's not about people saying good work, man. No, I've already learned that. But here I am stepping into a church. I'm like, man, where can I serve? The Lord's like, you're not serving, you're sitting. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting down. All right, 2 years. Step forward. They're like, oh, Ricardo. Oh, really? You play? I said, yeah. They say, what can you play? I say, I play the electric. I'm like, okay, well, you sing? I said, yeah. Okay, worship practice, Thursday night. I came. I didn't even have an instrument. I came. They give me something. I'm in the background. I'm playing. Everybody stop. Like, hang on. So you've been here all this time? And you've been here all this time and you know how to play? I said, yeah. And you never... You see the season? Because I was gifted... It wasn't about me. The Lord says to sit. But at the same time, when the Lord said, this is your time to serve, I submit. I tell you, that church, actually, I end up being one of the leaders in the church. A couple years later, I end up being sent back to my country as a missionary. I end up being one of their pastors. And here I am today here because of that connection. Guys, submission is extremely important in your life. You must submit. And who are you submitting to? And to live a life of worship, you have to worship God in spirit and in truth. You must submit. Serving God, I tell you all this because I said, worshiping God is serving God. And I know a lot of people, they're dodging. You know, God's calling them. Is that the word, dodging? No? Like, trying to. God's like, hey, come here. You do this. You're like, you know those people? You sit in the classroom, the teacher says, hey, Ricardo. And you kind of look away. It's like you pretend you don't hear. I wonder how many people here, God's calling you to serve Him, to be faithful, but you're dodging. There's a dangerous place to be in the Lord. Oh, I've done this before. Oh, I've done this. I'm so excited to be doing this again. See what I'm doing now? I've done it before. I was thinking the other day, man, God called me in Haiti. After the earthquake, pastor died, church destroyed, 48 people from the church died. I went there, it was a war zone, and I'm looking back. I said, Lord, the pastor's died. I was actually coming as an assistant pastor. Now, since he's dead, wife's dead, the church destroyed, guess what? I'm going to move back to Florida. And Jesus is like, no, you're not. This is what I have for you. This is your place. Guys, it was so hard. I slept on stones. No house. I slept on wax. A la belle lune, on dit, a la belle lune. Under the open moon. Every night. Rain or shine. Worshiping God is serving God. Are you serving Him? Worshiping God is serving God. There was a time in my life I said, you know what? I'm wasting my life. Sometimes we make declaration over our lives. If you're saying you're wasting your life, guess what? You are agreeing with the devil. Because Satan kills, steals, and destroys. Satan here comes, he's like, man, I'm wasting my life. Why am I wasting my life? And then the enemy is like, hey, demons, you hear what he said? He's destroying you. So therefore, set him situation to cause him anxiety. But the moment I start confessing, I'm blessed, man. Man, I'm so blessed. Man, what a privilege. Lord, what a privilege. Your yoke is light. Oh, God, I receive your yoke. So I started confessing, man, I'm wasting my life. What am I doing here? I did that for 5 years in Haiti after the earthquake. It was the worst, I tell you, the worst time in my life. I was busy. Some of my kids, some of my children could never see me. I was out there saving the world, failing at home. I even prayed. I said, Lord, I thought I was talking to Jesus. I said, Lord, if only you could send me an opportunity, give me a job offer. Guys, the way I said it, somebody called me and gave me a job offer, and I jumped on it. Went to Florida, and I'm like, went back 5 years later. Went back to Florida. Okay, Lord, this is it. This is the open door for me to get out of that squirmy little town. You remember It's a Wonderful Life? George? You know, get out of the squirmy little town and go explore the world. George, It's a Wonderful Life. Christmas movie. It's my favorite movie. And then I went back to Florida. And then the Lord's like, Ricardo, what are you doing here? This is not what I have for you. You're not submit. It's not about your mission. See, a lot of us, we don't make it because we make it about our mission. We miss the point. We struggle. We fight because we make it about our mission. It's never about your mission. Even your birth on this earth, God created you for a greater purpose than eat, sleep, repeat, and work. He placed you in your work to make an impact. He gives you your family to impact them. Living a life of worship is serving God. You know, we all know, so worship has more to do than singing. That's why when you're living your life, a life of worship, a life that's surrender to Jesus, then when we come together, of course it's dynamite. Of course you're not going to care about lifting up your hands. I mean, who cares you were raised Catholic? Catholic, you're not Catholic anymore. Clap your hands, all you people. Sing praises to the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people. And even if you're offbeat, come on, keep clapping. You'll make it someday. You'll get there, right? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you, even if you're offbeat, you do it. Keep doing it. Watch Ryan or watch somebody you think that's onbeat and be like, you know? Because some people can't clap and breathe at the same time. I won't mention name, guys. Don't worry. You know? So I said, I'm wasting my life, but this is it. This is what saved me. The Lord said, what are you doing here? Submit. Worship me is serving me. And you know what? I said, wow. Yes, Lord. And it was so hard. I preach. Well, we didn't have a church. We didn't have a church building. So Sunday morning, I would wake up and load all our instruments. We go to a place, a school. We set up before the sun comes up because we start early because it's so hot. By 9:30, you don't want to be in church because it's so hot. We don't have AC, so you want to start like at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. Guys, I lead worship. I preach, I pastor, I pray for people, I visit people, I did it. I train people. I taught a lot of people how to play guitar, how to play the piano. Did you know, by the time I left Haiti in 2019, when I moved to VB, I was actually complaining as a pastor. I'm like, what's going on, guys? I'd go to my worship leaders. I'm like, man, guys, schedule me in. I'd be like, guys, schedule me in. I want to play. It was amazing. I was like, guys, I want to play. Schedule me. So it was so fun. And then I was like, okay, no problem. I'll go to the church before everybody shows up, sit on the piano and worship Jesus. So here I am. I am in repeat. I said, Jesus, bring it on. Let's do it, Father. I said, let's do it. Because I count it a privilege to serve God. Because serving Him is worshiping Him. See, what has the Lord has called you to do? If you're finding yourself disobeying Him, He's going to hold you accountable for that. I believe this is a time as we continue to talk about living a life of worship. This is a time for us to surrender. Living a life of worship. And next week I'm going to talk about the pattern of the tabernacle. Because when we understand the tabernacle, you'll understand the privilege we have. Alyssa, come be on the piano for me. Serving God is worshiping God. What area in your life you need to submit to the Lord this morning? Which area in your life you need to submit? I believe last week the Lord did amazing work in all of you today. Last week. Today I feel like He just wants you to go deeper. Go deep in your heart. Which area He's asking you.